So who would those guns be meant for? Asked Lieutenant On. Denzai considered, frowning, biting her lip, and then said, The Tan Mind are more like the Rajai than we are. Citizen, said Lieutenant On, laying noticeable deliberate stress on that word, which was only what Rajai meant in the first place. If we were going to shoot anyone here, we'd already have done it. Had already done it, in fact. We wouldn't need secret stashes of weapons. This is why I came to you, said Denzai, emphatic, as though explaining something in very simple terms for a child. When you shoot a person, you say why and do it without excuse. This is how the Rajai are. But in the upper city, before you came, when they would shoot Orzeans, they would always be careful to have an excuse. They wanted someone dead, she explained to Lieutenant On's uncomprehending, appalled expression. They didn't say, You are trouble, we want you gone, and then shoot. They said, We are only defending ourselves. And when the person was dead, they would search the body or a house and discover weapons or incriminating messages. Not, the implication was clear, genuine ones. Then how are we alike? Your gods are the same. They weren't, not explicitly so, but the fiction was encouraged in the upper city and elsewhere. You live in space. You go all wrapped up in clothes. You are rich. The Tan Mind are rich. If someone in the upper city, and by this I suspected she meant a specific someone, cries out that some Orzean threatens them, most Rajai will believe her, and not some Orzean who is surely lying to protect her own. And that was why she had come to Lieutenant On, so that, whatever happened, it would be plain and clear to Rajai authorities that she, and by extension anyone else in the lower city, had in fact had nothing to do with that cache of weapons, if the accusation should materialize. These things, said Lieutenant On, Orzean, Tan Mind, Moha, they mean nothing now. That's done. Everyone here is Rajai. As you say, Lieutenant, answered Denzai, voice quiet and nearly expressionless. Lieutenant On had been in Orz long enough to recognize the unstated refusal to agree. She tried another angle. No one is going to shoot anybody. Of course not, Lieutenant, said Denzai, but in that same quiet voice. She was old enough to know firsthand that we had, indeed, shot people in the past. She could hardly be blamed for fearing we might do so in the future. After Denzai left, Lieutenant On sat thinking. No one interrupted. The day was quiet. In the green-lit temple interior, the head priest turned to me and said,
Once there would have been two choirs, 100 voices each. You would have liked it.
I had seen recordings. Sometimes the children would bring me songs that were distant echoes of that music, 500 years gone and more.
We're not what we used to be, said the head priest. Everything passes eventually.
I agreed that it was so. Take a boat tonight, said Lieutenant On, stirring at last. See if there's anything to indicate where the weapons came from. I'll decide what to do once I have a better idea of what's going on.
Yes, Lieutenant, I said.
Jen Shinnan lived in the upper city, across the Four Temple Lake. Few Orzeans lived there who weren't servants.
The houses there were built to a slightly different plan from those in the lower. Hip-roofed, the central part of each floor walled in, though windows and doors were left open on mild nights. All of the upper city had been built over older ruins, and thus, much more recently than the lower, within the last 50 or so years, and made much larger use of climate control. Many residents wore trousers and shirts and even jackets. Rodchai immigrants who lived there tended to wear much more conventional clothes, and Lieutenant On, when she visited, wore her uniform without too much discomfort. But Lieutenant On was never comfortable visiting Jen Shinnen. She didn't like Jen Shinnen. And though, of course, it was never even hinted at, very likely Jen Shinnen didn't like Lieutenant On much either. This sort of invitation was only extended out of social necessity, Lieutenant On being a local representative of Rodchai authority. The table this evening was unusually small, just Jen Shinnen, a cousin of hers, and Lieutenant On and Lieutenant Skyot. Lieutenant Skyot commanded Justice of Entei 7 Issa and administered the territory between Ors and Kuld Ves. Farmland, mostly, where Jen Shinnen and her cousin had their holdings. Lieutenant Skyot and her troops assisted us during pilgrimage season, so she was nearly as well-known in Ors as Lieutenant On was.
"They confiscated my entire harvest!"
This was the cousin of Jen Shinnen's, the owner of several tamarind orchards not far from the upper city. She tapped her plate emphatically with her utensil.
"The entire harvest."
The center of the table was laden with trays and bowls filled with eggs, fish, not from the marshy lake but from the sea beyond, spiced chicken, bread, braised vegetables, and half a dozen relishes of various types. "Didn't they pay you, citizen?" asked Lieutenant On, speaking slowly and carefully, as she always did when she was anxious her accent might slip. Jen Shinnen and her cousin both spoke Rodchai, so there was no need to translate, nor any anxiety over gender or status or anything else that would have been essential in Tan Mind or Orzian.
"Well, but I would certainly have gotten more if I could have taken it to Kuld Ves and sold it myself."
There had been a time when a property owner like her would have been shot early on, so someone's client could take over her plantation. Indeed, not a few Shisernans had died in the initial stages of the annexation simply because they were in the way. And in the way could mean any number of things. "As I'm sure you understand, citizen," said Lieutenant On, "food distribution is a problem we're still solving, and we all need to endure some hardship while that's accomplished." Her sentences, when she was uncomfortable, became uncharacteristically formal and sometimes dangerously convoluted. Jen Shinnen gestured to a laden plate of fragile pale pink glass.
"Another stuffed egg, Lieutenant On."
Lieutenant On held up one gloved hand. "They're delicious, but no, thank you, citizen." But the cousin had landed in a track she found it hard to deviate from, despite Jen Shinnen's diplomatic attempt to derail her.
"It's not like fruit is a necessity. Tamarind, of all things. And it's not like anyone is starving."
"Indeed it isn't," agreed Lieutenant Skyot heartily.
She smiled brightly at Lieutenant On. Lieutenant Skyot, dark-skinned, amber-eyed, aristocratic as Lieutenant On was not. One of her 7 Issas stood near me, by the door of the dining room, as straight and still as I was. Though Lieutenant On liked Lieutenant Skyot a good deal and appreciated her sarcasm, on this occasion she couldn't bring herself to smile in response. "Not this year."
"Your business is doing better than mine, cousin," said Jen Shinnen, voice placating.
She, too, owned farmland, not far from the upper city. But she had also owned those dredgers that sat, silent and still, in the marsh water.
Though I suppose I can't be too regretful, it was a great deal of trouble for very little return.
Lieutenant Awn opened her mouth to speak, and then closed it again. Lieutenant Skyot saw it and said, vowels effortlessly broad and refined,
"What is it, another 3 years for the fishing prohibitions, Lieutenant?"
"Yes," said Lieutenant Awn.
"Foolishness," said Jen Shinnen. "Well-intentioned, but foolish. You saw what it was like when you arrived. As soon as you open them, they'll be fished out again. The Orzeans may have been a great people once, but they're no longer what their ancestors were. They have no ambition, no sense of anything beyond their short-term advantage. If you show them who's boss, then they can be quite obedient, as I'm sure you've discovered, Lieutenant Awn. But in their natural state, they are, with few exceptions, shiftless and superstitious. Though I suppose that's what comes of living in the underworld."
She smiled at her own joke. Her cousin laughed outright. The space-dwelling nations of Shiserna divided the universe into three parts. In the middle lay the natural environment of humans, space stations, ships, constructed habitats. Outside those was the black, heaven, the home of God, and everything holy. And within the gravity well of the planet Shiserna itself, or for that matter any planet, lay the underworld, the land of the dead from which humanity had had to escape in order to become fully free of its demonic influence. You can see, perhaps, how the Rodchai conception of the universe as being God itself might seem the same as the Tanmind idea of the black. You might also see why it seemed a bit odd, to Rodchai ears, to hear someone who believed gravity wells were the land of the dead call people superstitious for worshipping a lizard. Lieutenant Awn managed a polite smile, and Lieutenant Skyot said,
"And yet you live here too."
"I don't confuse abstract philosophical concepts with reality," said Jen Shinnen.
Though that too sounded odd to a Rodchai who knew what it meant for a Tanmind stationer to descend to the underworld and return.
"Seriously, I have a theory."
Lieutenant Awn, who had been exposed to several Tanmind theories about the Orzeans, managed a neutral, even almost curious expression and said blandly,
"Oh?"
"Do share," encouraged
Lieutenant Skyot. The cousin, having scooped a quantity of spiced chicken into her mouth moments before, made a gesture of support with her utensil.
"It's the way they live, all out in the open like that, with nothing but a roof,"
Jen Shinnen said.
"They can't have any privacy, no sense of themselves as real individuals, you understand. No sense of any sort of separate identity,
let alone private property," said Jen Ta, having swallowed her chicken. "They think they can just walk in and take whatever they want."
Actually, there were rules, if unstated ones, about entering a house uninvited, and theft was rarely a problem in the lower city. Occasionally during pilgrimage season, almost never otherwise. Jen Shinnen gestured acknowledgement.
"And no one here is ever really starving, Lieutenant. No one has to work, they just fish in the swamp, or fleece visitors during pilgrimage season. They have no chance to develop any ambition or any desire to improve themselves, and they don't, can't really, develop any sort of sophistication, any kind of..."
She trailed off, searching for the right word.
"Interiority?"
suggested Lieutenant Skyot, who enjoyed this game much more than Lieutenant Awn did.
"That's it exactly," agreed Jen Shinnen.
Interiority, yes.